Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to Remix Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tompe, and thank you for joining me in episode 14, I think. Really awkward. I was honestly doing like the math in my head, and I was like, I feel like this week's episode should have been episode 13 because we're going to be talking about something. I'm going to get why I say 13 in just 1 second, because I feel like whenever you're thinking about fear or like stuff like that, I don't know if you're super superstitious and so that. Remember when like Friday the 13th was like a huge deal? Like that was like so bad and you're like, ah. And now I honestly don't even remember when Friday lands on a 13th. But today's episode is about fear, if you have not guessed it already. But before we get started in today's episode, I want to give a couple disclaimers slash updates and things like that. For starters, one, I know there was technical difficulties in last week's episode, so if you had to experience that, I'm sorry. I had to live through that. It was a lot. Like I think I said at the end of the episode, it took me 5 days to edit it. It was because it made three versions of me. Like it said that there's three versions of me talking, and so it was like cutting in it. So I had to do some like crazy editing to that episode. But the fact that it even got up, I know there was issues and stuff like that, and I do apologize. But if you heard it before I edited it, you'd be really proud. That's all I'm going to say. I know I'm proud of myself. But yeah, I do want to apologize for that. The hope is that there are no technical difficulties in the future. I'm also potentially looking for an editor. So if you are good at podcast or audio editing or video editing or both, hit me up. You're probably like, video? There's no video. If you can see me right now, it's because I'm testing what video of Remix Reality Podcast would also look like. I think it's also good for me to see my facial expressions as I'm doing this to prepare myself for when I actually do publish these, because it's like, I feel like my face tells a different story typically. And I think this would have been really funny to have video when I was reading submissions and stuff like that, because I think, like I said, my face definitely told a different story than my words were saying sometimes. But anyways, if you can hear my mini fridge in the back, I apologize. When I tried to move it, it started making a screeching noise. So I was like, let me put it back. And if you guys can hear it, I am so sorry, but I don't think you can. I think she's quiet. Anyways, another update is I had said this in the end of the last episode, but we have had a Google form in the Instagram bio for a couple of weeks now. You can submit your submissions about what you want to see in a Mixed Reality Podcast, questions you have for myself, concerns you have for myself, things of that nature. Go ahead and fill that out and let me know what you want to see. I think, like I said, I think this community is something that I want to keep expanding and keep building and stuff like that. And so I want to do or talk about content and stuff that you want to hear, right? I think I am learning a lot, I think, in the process of doing this. And I hope you guys are doing the same. But I also want you guys to be able to, like, if there's something that you know about, let me know. Also, if there's like a story that you have, maybe you've been through something in life, everybody's been through something, but maybe you've learned something from the various things that you've been through, and you're like, oh my gosh, like I think my story or whatever could be shared and hopefully like help people in some way. And let me know. I'm looking for guests and stuff like that, preparing for season 2 of the podcast episode, so I'm definitely interested. And thanks to beautiful technology, even if you don't live in California, we can figure it out. And there's a way for us to still record the podcast episode and still be able to communicate with each other. But like I said, this is a community, and therefore I also want you guys' experiences and stories to be part of it. That's why I usually say at the end of the episodes, comment down below or message me. And I know a lot of the times I'm telling you to comment stuff that's probably a little bit more vulnerable, so probably not going to happen. But that Google form is also a place that you can, if I ever ask you guys to reflect on something in a previous episode that I was talking about or things of that nature, you can also use that time and that space to also respond to that. Okay. On that note, are we ready to get started with today's episode? Did I have any more reminders? Oh yeah. So that Google form will stay open until the end of season 1. And then, but tomorrow specifically when this episode drops, I will have my sister put it, or myself, put it in the Instagram bio. Alrighty, let us begin. So I didn't think about this podcast episode. I think it's something that is talked about a lot. But one thing that I think shifted my perspective is I've been listening to this podcast called, oh my gosh, The Psychology of Your 20s. I don't know why I blanked. And it has like changed my perspective on a lot of things. And I forget. I'll be sharing a lot of things that other people have kind of like that I've learned from other people. And I make sure to give them their flowers and stuff like that. So I do want to say her name of this podcast host. It is by Jenna Spegg, I think is how you say her last name, but her podcast is brilliant. I would recommend go listen to it. I think she has a little bit of a psychology background, not a little bit, she has a psychology background, and so a lot of the stuff that she talks about breaks down the psychological aspects of many different things. And I think even if you're not in your 20s, great podcast to listen to, because I think it breaks down stuff maybe that you've been trying to overcome or things that you went through when you were younger, or maybe if you're in your late teens, getting ready to go into your 20s, I think it's good things to keep in mind. But she did an episode talking, it was, I think, the Late Bloomer podcast. And she was talking about being a late bloomer in many different avenues, but she said something that stuck with me, and I want to share it with you guys, and this is why I am going to be talking about fear today. So I want to pull up exactly what she said. So she said, the reason why you're convinced or scared it'll never happen is because you don't know what it will feel like when it does happen. And I believe in this particular scenario, when she said that, she was talking about like getting the job, or she was talking about relationships and things like that. I think you can put any single circumstance that you've been through in that and be like, the reason why you're, and I had to pause, I was walking to campus, I had to pause and write that down, right? I rarely take notes during podcasts, like, unless I'm like, oh wow, like I need, and I took so many notes on that one episode, and I just thought about that for a while. It's like, the reason why we have fear is because we don't know what's going to happen. And I think just breaking down that a little bit more is what we're going to be doing today. But just, I would say, write that down somewhere. Remind yourself that the reason why you're scared or convinced that it's not going to happen is because you do not know what it feels like when it will happen. And so your brain is tricking you into that. So we're going to get started with today's episode. I'm excited. I got notes. It's going to be good. Okay. So we're going to break down what fear actually is. So fear is a survival instinct. It's your brain trying to keep you safe. And I want you to pay attention to this part in particular. It's your brain trying to keep you safe, not necessarily happy or fulfilled. And I think that's really important to know. And I'm going to break down why in just a second. And I think one thing that we know is that fear typically shows up when a lot of things matter, right? But just to go back one second, is fear is a survival instinct. We think about, scientists talk about this all the time, how like fear is something that has actually been around for a while. Right? It's what, you know, causes to sense dangers, what got us to safety and things like that. And so your body is, you know, going through this survival mode when you were afraid of something, but it typically shows up when something big is about to happen, or sometimes it happens when some small things happen, but it shows up when something matters, right? Typically our fears are associated with things that we care about. And I'm going to share an example of some of my fears in particular, and things that I'm working through, and I think is part of the reason why I wanted to record this episode, is because there's some fears that I'm actively in the process of breaking it down. And so kind of going through that with you guys, I think could be unique and interesting and stuff like that. But examples of things, fear popping up when things matter, are when you have a job change. If you're taking a creative risk, maybe you're like, oh, I'm a songwriter, but I'm so scared of releasing the song, or whatever the case is. When you're vulnerable, I think that's a lot, oftentimes when fear shows up, when you know, want to share something with somebody, but you're like afraid of how you're going to be perceived or things like that. When you're trying to set boundaries, like that typically happens when fear arises, sometimes when you're trying to set boundaries. And I think I was just thinking about this, right? I think a lot of people, let's say they're in a toxic relationship or something like that, and they know that they need to leave, and they know that it's not healthy for them. And there's a lot of fear associated with that. And the reason why is, I think sometimes we have this like, oh, I think that relationship example is like one that's really complex. We could break that down a little bit. But I think I said earlier, it's your brain trying to keep you safe, not necessarily happy or fulfilled. So sometimes people will stay in like toxic relationships or friendships and stuff like that, because their brain is telling them that this is what's safe. Right? You know, this is something that, you know, is safe, it's familiar. And so you're going to stay in this when you know that you're not fulfilled and know that you're not happy, because fear is not working for your happiness. And fear is also not working for you to be fulfilled. And so I think that's something that's very important to know. I think more examples of this, even on a smaller scale, is an audition, right? Maybe it's an audition for a play that you've been wanting to do for a long time. Maybe you're really skilled in musical theater and you're trying to audition for this play and you know this part, you know these lines, you know these songs, but all of a sudden, like, fear pops up. It's because you care about this thing. I think fear is your body's way of telling you that you care, but it scares us. And I think oftentimes when we look at fear, we think of fear as a stop sign. I don't think fear is meant to be a stop sign. I think it's actually something that we can interpret as, hey, let's just pay attention a little bit. Let's focus and see what's going on. Maybe let's be a little bit more aware of our surroundings and things like that. But if we position fear in a place that puts us in a stagnant position, we're not going to get very far in life. I wish I could tell you where I saw this. But I don't remember. And so if you've heard this and stuff like that, we're going to talk about the fear of myth as a prophecy. I think people oftentimes will look, if they have a thought of fear, they have a feeling of fear, which manifests itself into anxiety and things like that. They believe that that's a prophecy of what's going to happen, right? If you have a fear that you are going to fail a test, we kind of trick ourselves into believing that that's what's going to happen. Then it then becomes sometimes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But you actually hold the power to not make your fear a prophecy. And I think one thing that I learned by Brittany Noel on TikTok, I think that's what your TikTok, I know that's what your name is. I don't know if this is your TikTok account, but she had said, and like a speech that she was giving, I think she was having a talk and a lady had stood up and talked about how she was going through this paralyzing fear and all these different things. And she had said that fear isn't a bad emotion, right? It's okay to be afraid. I think anybody who tells you like, don't be scared. Like, no, I think the fact of the matter is like humans, we're going to be afraid. There are some things that we are going to be afraid to take the risk for. There'll be some things that we're going to be afraid to step out for. Like, that's okay. However, she said, it's the actions that we do or do not do after the fact that set us back. And so if you let your fear stop you from pursuing that career goal or stop you from not doing something, right? That is where the negativity comes from. Feeling fear isn't a problem. It's how you respond to that feeling that determines your path or how far you're going to go. And if you overcome this particular obstacle and stuff like that. And on this similar note, one thing that I was thinking about is a lot of regret oftentimes comes from us not doing something, right? I think there's very few things that I can think of in my life and which I regret doing. Very few. If I can even think of any, I'm like, what are some things I regret doing? Let's think about this. Maybe like some financial decisions. There are some financial decisions that I regret doing. But I think besides that, there's not much that I regret doing. However, there's a lot that I regret not doing. I could think of a long list of things that just popped in my head that I wish I would have taken the chance on, that I wish I would have stepped out and done, because I promise you that that fear is temporary. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it will be temporary. But if I now look back at moments in which I'm like, I wish I would have just done it afraid, right? This is a kind of thing to break down fear that Flynn Skidmore, I believe is how you say his name, was speaking about. That video was so good. And the lack of like likes and comments was like mind boggling to me. But he broke this down so beautifully. And I think this is a way that we can think about fear. And he said, you came into this world fearing two things, failing and loud noises. And those are fears that we've had as humans for a very, very long time, right? Beyond just you as a baby, like it's been known humans are afraid of those two things typically. Right? And he was talking about how those are the two major fears that you had. Those are the only things that you came into the world, you know, fearing. He talks about how, like, when a baby comes out of the womb, that's why it, like, knows how to grip. Like, it'll grip your finger and stuff like that. Because falling is a fear that is, like, instilled in us when we're a baby. And loud noises, don't know the psychology or the biology behind that, but loud noises as well. And he's talking about how you overcame those fears. Fears that we as humans have had for decades, right? A fear that you've had since childbirth, right? That you weren't taught to necessarily fear, but that you just came out of the womb, you know, having those fears. And you overcame that. And he said, now I want you to think about the fears that you have, right? Your fear of not being successful, your fear of not being picked, your fear of failure. Fill in your blank with whatever your biggest fears are. And he said, you've only had those fears for about a few years, for about as long, maybe if you're a teenager, you've had it for like 15, 16 years. If you're a little bit older, you've had it for 30 or so years. Regardless, those fears that you think about nonstop have only been a part of your life for such a small fragment of it, compared to that fear that has been instilled in us since the very beginning of time of falling and loud noises. Yet we no longer carry those fears as much as we did back then. And so he was just encouraging us that if we can overcome that fear that is instilled in us, that we are born with from when we're very, very young, and that has been around, it's a thing that we've used for survival. It's how we've continued to grow and change over time. If you can overcome those things, imagine how much more you can overcome. If you just think about it, those fears are just so small compared to, you know, something that is innate in us, something that has been, you know, instilled in us for a very, very long time. And when he said that, I was just like, whoa. Like, I think now I'm more encouraged to go and look at the things that I have feared for a very long time. Like, just get ready to approach it, right? I am like, when should I share my fear? Because I think it's important to for me to... Oh, I'll share one now. I think obviously everybody has the fear of failure. And you could be like, Lily, what does that even mean? That's a good question. The fear of failure for me, I think, is rooted in my, because I'm thinking about, I can think about my career goals, right? And one would be like, okay, like you want to be this. So your fear of failure is probably not doing that, right? No, actually, I think my fear of failure is rooted in not being able to pay back the people who have like supported me and like loved me for a very long time. Like, for example, my parents, like knowing that they sacrificed a lot to come to this country and for me to have a better life. My dad always instilled in us that he just wanted us to be better than him, that he wanted us to be better than, you know, that the whole cycle is like, as generations continue, you just want your family and your bloodline to get better, whatever that means for you personally, whatever success looks like for your family. And so I guess my fear is not fulfilling that. And I don't necessarily think that me becoming an attorney or me like being in government or doing stuff like that is what's going to do that. I think regardless of whatever I do, I know that in a way, as long as I'm able to like provide for my family and provide for the people around me and make impacts in those areas, that I will have made my family proud, if that makes sense. And so with that, I guess my fear is getting in a space, maybe having the success, maybe having the money, maybe having all these different things, but not being fulfilled and not being like a making like general impact and what I'm doing. For example, there's a lot going on right now in like the legal community and seeing how a lot of big major corporations and law firms are bowing their knee to what's happening in the world. And to think that law is an area that I'm, you know, going into, and I'm studying criminology and political science right now. And so I'm learning different things about that and seeing that these major corporations, these institutions that I've in some way, shape or form, like look up to, continue to bow their knee to the craziness that's happening in the world, I think is disheartening. And so I guess my fear is attached to me getting in those spaces and me continuing to bow my knee to that, because I know I'm not going to be fulfilled. I know I'm not going to be happy if I work in a space in which I'm continuing to let these terrible cycles continue in life. And that was a little bit of a tangent, but I think my fear of failure is less attached to whether or not I become a successful lawyer. I think it's more attached to what I do with that and the impact that I do within that. And I think that's a deep career path conversation and stuff like that, but I think that's one of my greatest fears. And I heard this, who said this? I don't know. I don't remember who said this. I'm so sorry. Actually, I don't know if anybody said this, but they're in a way, when we look at fear in our life, it oftentimes will pretend to be logic. And here's what I mean by that. On that same note, but oftentimes fear will try to pretend that this is logic. Oh no, like I'm just keeping you safe. Oh, this is what makes sense, right? And so here are some examples of this. I'm not ready for this job opportunity. What if they judge me? Someone else is already in that space, excelling in that area. And I think we rationalize avoiding making decisions and making steps. And we say that we're just being realistic. You know, I'm just looking at my qualifications and I'm saying I probably am not the best person for the job. I'm just looking at the odds of me making it out of poverty. I'm looking at the generational, you know, poverty. You know, it's logical for me to think that I'm not going to be able to make that cycle. It's logical for me to think that not applying to that job, like I said, because you think you're not qualified, or you think, I mean, you could think that there's something better out there for you, but do you really think that, or are you just telling yourself that because you're afraid of rejection? And y'all know what I say, rejection is redirection. Anyways, not starting that business, not stepping out and starting that podcast, not setting that boundary. Those are all different ideas of, you know, fear pretending to be logic. And specifically on the last two, and not starting a business and not setting a boundary, I'll speak to one of them, or I'll speak to both of them. I haven't started a business. This podcast, I don't make any money off of it, so it's not a business per se. But I think in terms of like analytics and things like that, it's a business in that sense, right? There's different steps. There's different, you know, things you have to work out. There's different communications you have to do and stuff like that. For not starting that business, right? I think I could have told myself 95 million gajillion reasons as to why I shouldn't do this. But like, what if you just did it? Like, there was a lot of things that could have went wrong. There's a lot of things that didn't go wrong. There's some things that did go wrong. However, I think regardless, like, you can do something while you're afraid, and maybe some bad things will happen, but imagine how much good will come out of it. Like, I promise you that good will almost always outweigh the bad, right? And I think also on that podcast, The Psychology of Your 20s, I think she had said like 85% of your worst fears never come true. And so we sit there and we are contemplating, and we're so paralyzed with fear because we're like, oh my gosh, these terrible things are going to happen to us. When in reality, only a very small portion of those things do, 15%. That's a very small amount, right? We could talk about the p-value of that. We could do a significance test. We could, you know, do all. Can you tell I've had to take 3 semesters of stats? It's brutal out here. Anyway, but like, we could break it down statistically. And I can promise you that a good majority of your fears are probably not going to come true, right? All right. This is something that the person, I don't know their name, but I know their TikTok username is Simplifying Sam. This, I think, is another thing that's noteworthy. And I would write down and I would go to Simplifying Sam and say, thank you so much for this amazing tidbit. And they had explained how oftentimes we affirm a condition in which we will feel safe or okay. And I'll give you an example. Like, if I make, I think this is the example she gave in the video, so maybe I'll give a different one. I've heard this rhetoric a lot because I think I'm in college, and I think this is the age in which people are typically like getting in serious relationships and ready to settle down and stuff like that. I've heard people say, when I like find my person, then I will be happy. Or when I like find my like future wife, then like my life will truly start. Just things like that. And don't even get me started. We could have a conversation, a little tidbit back and forth about those lines in particular, and like the if I statements, specifically when it comes to relationships and things like that. People like determining their happiness on that is something I think that is one of my biggest pet peeves. But, you know, to each their own. We got to decenter women and men. We got to decenter relationships in our lives. I should have talked about that in February. Decenter men. Amen. Anyways. But like saying like, oh, once I'm rich, she had said in the video, like, once I make $1 million, like, then I'll be happy or something like that. And when we do that, our brain automatically goes, it's okay. Like, that's going to happen. It's okay. You're going to find your person. You're going to get in a relationship. You're going to do all those different things. And when we do that, we get into this little cycle because we're convincing ourselves and we're like affirming that, you know, it's a legitimate fear, which obviously I think, you know, not being financially stable or like being alone in terms of a romantic partner is all things that people are afraid of. So we're always going to feel that fear in the back of our mind if we don't, right? So you're always going to be thinking like, when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make enough money. And you're like, no, it's okay. You're going to. Right? That'll always be a fear in the back of your mind. That's going to be something that's going to keep playing in the back of your mind because you just told yourself, right? When you're affirming that and saying, no, it's okay. Right? And this is how she explained it. This is not me. I'm not a genius like this. How she explained it was when you're telling yourself, no, it's okay. You'll be fine financially. You'll survive financially. You'll do this. You'll do that. You're telling yourself that you have to do that. Right? And why that becomes negative in a sense is what you should be doing instead is telling yourself like, hey, like, yeah, it would be great if that happened. It would be great if I found my person. It would be great if I was financially stable and I had $1 million to spend. Those would be great. But even if it doesn't happen, I will be okay. I will be okay. And like I said, 85% of our worst fears do not come true. However, there's still that little percentage in our brain that's going to tell us that the terrible things are going to happen or that good things aren't going to happen. And if we tell ourselves that regardless of what happens, I am going to be okay, it will allow us to calm our fears in so many different ways. And I thought that was brilliant. So simplifying, Sam, you're a goat, okay? You're the best. So what, you're like, Lily, okay, you're telling me all about fear, you're telling me all about these different things, what am I going to do? Well, one, I think how you frame and how you look at fear is a very important thing. Like I had just said right now is when we tell ourselves in those situations and you can fill in your fear with whatever you want, that once I do this, then I'll be this. Once you rephrase that and understand that regardless of what happens, I will be okay, that I have been, you know, I have gone so far in this life, like it'll continue to happen. Once you rephrase your thinking and stuff like that and understand that you're going to be fine regardless. There are so many things in your life that you thought were going to take you out, yet you're still here. It might have bruised you up a little bit, but I bet more than anything you learned and you grew and you understand how much more resilient you were. And I think that's a part of fear that we don't understand is like, yeah, there's going to be times in which those 15% of our fears do happen. It's inevitable, right? We're humans. There's going to be terrible things that happen to us. And that's just an unfortunate thing. But instead of training our mind to be so focused on the what ifs and the huge major fears that only happen 15% of our time, 15% of the time, instead we should change our perspective and allow ourselves to understand that even when those fears come, we will be okay. Okay? Yes. So how do we do this in a practical way? How do we shift this, right? So what we need to do is shift our fear into faith and action. I think this relates to what she was saying in the Psychology of Your 20s podcast, but whenever you take a leap, it's scary, right? Because you're stepping into unmarked territory. You're stepping into territory that you have never been into. So typically, if you think of various things that you're afraid of, even if it's something that you're so routine to doing, like I had said, like theater earlier, even if you are the best person in musical theater, even if you've been on Broadway, I'm sure there's a level of fear and anxiety that still comes with something that you're very naturally good at, or even maybe not naturally good at, but that you've grown talent for. Whenever I, you know, if I'm recording myself singing or something like that, sometimes there's fear attached to that, right? There's fear in being vulnerable in that level, regardless of how long. I've been singing for as long as I can remember. And let me just show you an example. I know you're not going to be able to see it because this video isn't going anywhere but my camera roll for now. Look at all these videos I took. I'm like, where does it stop? Okay, I can keep going. All of those videos are of me singing the same 30 seconds of the song that I posted on my Instagram story for 24 hours that is now just in the archives. I recorded myself maybe, I think that's probably over 20 times doing that one snippet of a song because I was so afraid. And it's something that, and I listened to it and I recorded it and I analyzed all of them. I don't know why I still have them on my phone. But it was something because I was afraid. I was afraid of posting it. I was probably shaking as I clicked the post button. There's this TikTok that I've seen. And it's like me after I like post something on Instagram. I'm like, well, that was, you know, scary. Or that was, I forget the TikTok sound. But I think it just encapsulates fear in many ways. Like oftentimes, yeah, we work ourselves up in many, many cases. And then we do it and we're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. And so with posting that video, it wasn't that bad. Did I really need to sit there and, you know, waste a good hour or so of my time continuously recording the same video over and over and over again for the likes of what? Just for what? 500, 600 people to view it on my story? I did all that for that? I could have done something better with my time. And I was like, that was what the cover for last week's episode was going to be. Like being your biggest critic. It was just going to be my camera roll of like the times that I continuously just recorded. There's many instances of this. I had talked about how taking a leap. I was talking about music. It's something that I've done for the longest time. And yet I still get afraid when I do something new. When I sing a new song, when I'm in a new environment singing, when I'm doing these different things, when I'm writing something new, maybe a new category, maybe a new piece or something like that.
And that's the same thing that happens in whatever situation you're in. When you're doing something new, obviously you're going to be afraid. Obviously, there's going to be that level of uncertainty. And I think one thing that's really difficult is a lot of the times the things that we fear are unique to us. Even if you and your sibling both have a fear of heights, it typically manifests itself in different ways, right? And so that's why sometimes tackling and understanding fear is hard, because it's not necessarily something that, like, I could tell my best friend, hey, I'm really struggling, and this is a real thing, is my fear of driving. I've had my license right here since I was a junior in high school. I'm about to be a junior in college. I've had my license for so long that I don't like to drive. I have a fear of driving, and it's something that I'm working through right now. So, right, watch out. Come January, you will see me whipping that. Because I'm sick of being at home, guys. I'm sick of staying in the confines of this little compound. Like, college is great. It's like summer camp with no adults 24/7. It's the best. I actually have this thought. I might have said this in one of the other episodes. Maybe I didn't. But, like, when I was a freshman, I remember I was sitting here and I was like, this is so weird. Like, the adults are here during the day, then they just leave us. Like, they really just leave a bunch of 18, 20-something-year-olds alone. And I know we're, like, grown, but we're not grown. Like, some of them were 18. Like, this was last year. Like, a lot of us were 18, 19. Fresh out of high school, like, we're still kids in my eyes. We were not allowed to go, like, be in places for a long time in high school and supervise. Whenever we would go to the library, right, as a class, our teacher would have to come with us. Maybe not so much senior year, but, like, for a good majority of high school, we'd have to be chaperoned. And all of a sudden, we're in college and they just let us do whatever we want. It's crazy. But I was like, yes. Anyways, I'm sick of being here. I need to expand, right? Like I said, college is great, but I want to explore the city that I'm going to be in for the next, I don't even know how long. And so I'm in the process of getting over my fear of driving. But I would say, with that in particular, fears are so unique to us that even if I were to tell my friend or I were to tell my sister, like, hey, I'm struggling with this particular thing, it's very hard for her to help me, right? Because she doesn't know what's going on in my brain. So that's why me and my therapist are unpacking my fear of driving, because that means there's something going on, and understanding and honestly just being able to express what your fears are, I think sometimes help. But like I said, I think fears are so unique to you. You could have the exact same fear as somebody else, but it might feel different. You might have to overcome it in different ways. And that's why it's one of those unique things that I think we often keep hidden, because sometimes there's not much benefit in sharing our fears. There's not much benefit in me saying that I, have a fear of driving. Like, that's not benefiting anybody. And so those are the type of things that we keep inside. However, I think in a way there you have to somehow express your fears and let them know. Not let people know, because I think there are some people you don't want to share everything with, but I think letting that fester up inside is only going to do some only going to allow it to continue to grow. And I think that's quite the opposite of what you want to do. And so I would say let somebody in, whether it's a therapist or somebody, a significant other, a parent, and just be like, this is something that I'm struggling with. This is something that I'm walking through. Although you may not necessarily be able to help me with this in particular, specifically, like, I want to let you know, and I would appreciate your support in this manner. And I think that allows us to not, I think it makes the fear a lot smaller when we begin to verbalize it to other people. However, don't be running around telling your fears to everybody, because they will use it as a weapon against you. So, on that same note, I think a lot of fear comes from a lack of trust in ourselves. And I think on the same page, like I said, you have come so far. You've overcome so much. You have done so much as a person that you should be proud of yourself. I think regardless of whether your life was quote unquote easy, I don't think anybody has an easy life. I think maybe things might have been a little bit more fortunate, but I think everybody goes through different seasons and stuff like that. That's another thing. Don't let anybody invalidate the struggles and stuff that you've been through in life. Just because you haven't had this huge dramatic moment or things that have happened to you, that doesn't mean that you are any less valuable or that you can't share wisdom on a particular subject matter. I think that there's space for you and your experience, and I think that's very important. Don't invalidate yourself in that. But you have to trust yourself. Trust yourself enough to know that you were going to walk through this, that you're going to get through this like you've done in the past. And this is also something that we've been thinking about is, like, if you even think about our survival instincts, if we think about the things that have been engraved in us up since the beginning of time, how we survived all these different things and changes and stuff like that, it was typically through logic. right? Obviously, if, you know, you see something on the ground, you think you see a snake on the ground, it could just be a stick. You didn't see it move. You can't hear it, you know, slithering or hissing or anything like that. It could have been a stick, but logic is telling you to get out the way regardless because it's a possibility that it could be a snake. Fear is looking at that and automatically assuming that it's a snake, automatically assume that it's something that wants to hurt you, automatically assuming that it's something that is harmful, right? Logic is telling you, hey, maybe be cautious, walk around that a little bit because it could be something that's a threat, but it's probably not, right? And so with that, I heard this somewhere and I hate that I don't know where I heard this. I think honestly with fear, because it's something that I'm currently in the process of walking through, there's a lot of like content and articles and journals and stuff that I am consuming when it comes to fear. And so I need to take notes so I can tell you where I got this from. But I will say I don't think I came up with this. But for everything else I wrote down where I got it, for this one, I just did it. But logic knows how to get you through life. Like I said, it has done it from the beginning of time. But now it's time for you to step into faith. It's time for you to step into faith. And the beautiful Taylor Nardoon said, do it scared and do it unprepared. What? Do it scared, do it unprepared. Imagine how much more we would accomplish in life. And instead of letting fear be a stop sign, we allowed it to be a guide to let us continue to go through these different things in life. You don't need to kill fear. You just need to carry it. I think courage is, we have this, what's the misconception? I think people say courage is the absence of fear. I don't know who, they're a liar, whoever said that. I think courage is just choosing to do stuff while you're afraid. In the midst of your fear, choosing to step out, I believe is what courage is. Because even if I'm freaking ziplining, I'm still scared. I've done it multiple times. But if I'm stepping out and in that vulnerable situation, I'm still going to be scared. But I think the act of doing it while afraid, doing it while uncertain of what's happening, doing it while not having all the answers or all the steps or everything that I need to succeed is what courage is. So if you're a math person, a simple equation, fear plus action equals courage. Fear plus action equals courage. Okay? I think there are so many instances in which I could give for courage, like I've said this podcast multiple times. I think for me, it's fresh on my mind. The real ones know. But leaving toxic friendships, I think, is one that it takes courage. Because, like I said earlier, it's something that you're comfortable with, right? If I have been friends with you for my entire life, and I know that this isn't serving either of us anymore, and I have to step away from that, that's going to take a level of courage. I'm just going to be afraid while doing it. I'm probably still going to have a little bit of lingering fear after the fact because I'm afraid that that friendship, or I will never have a friendship that is just as good as that. But I promise you, when you step out in courage, which is, what's courage? What's the equation? Everybody drop it in the comments down below, which is fear and action. If I take action in the midst of my fear, that is me being courageous. And I was thinking about a friendship situation in which I left that and I was so paralyzed with fear because it was something that I knew I needed to leave for the longest time. I knew that it wasn't serving me and I had a feeling that it wasn't going to benefit me in the long run. I knew that it had actually done a lot more harm than good, probably on both of our ends. I'm not just going to blame this one individual. And I was so afraid to leave it. And it took so much. It took a buildup that was so strong for me to decide to have the courage to act. To, you know, listen to my fear and understand that, yeah, like the fear of loneliness or the fear of not finding something that's as good as this is going to keep me back. However, I promise you, every single time that you step out in courage, something magnificent, something better typically comes out, right? I think we do not grow if we continue to stay in spaces that feel comfortable to us or feel safe to us, right? I think the best growth happens when we step out with that courage and with that fear and understand that, yeah, it's okay to have these thoughts of fear. I think it's very normal. We're human beings. I think it's, you know, there are some fears that have been instilled in us since the very beginning. It's very normal and okay to have these fears. However, it's what you choose to do after you have that fear, while you have that fear, that determines your path. These are like examples of things that I think a lot of people typically have fear with. Maybe you're in a new relationship, a new friendship, and the concept of saying I love you is so weird. It's so taboo. I think it's something I can speak for because we were not a very affectionate. We still are not a very affectionate household, like, growing up. So we don't, nah. I'm like, maybe, yeah. The saying I love you was not really something that was said often, right? Very rare, I would say. And so trying to break that is so hard. Because there are times in which, like, you were just feeling so grateful and, like, overwhelmed and excited and stuff like that. Like, there are just instances in which, like, I love you is just something that you want to say. But if it's something that you're not, like, necessarily comfortable with or more familiar with, it's going to be harder. Right? Does that make sense? And so that fear of saying, I love you because I don't know what the response will be, because it's not something that is very common, I think is one that has lingered in, like, friendships and things like that as well. Because it's like, if I didn't say it in family and then all of a sudden my friends are saying, I love you, is like a weird thing. But I've gotten over that fear and I've continued to allow myself and understand that if I feel this way, like, I think I'll have a lot more regret not saying I love you to this person than if I, like, don't say it. And so I think it's okay to be afraid while saying things. Okay, another thing that takes courage and action is going to therapy. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, love my therapist, love her dad. She's great, right? Like, the best. I think part of the reason why I'm talking about fear in this particular subject is, like I've said, I'm unpacking some fears that I've had. But honestly, taking a step to try and, like, unlearn things that you have known for your whole life, or taking the step to learn things about yourself or change many habits or things like that you have, like, takes a level of courage like no other. I think when we were talking about fear in particular, she was talking about how, like, part of that requires me going back into those times that are painful and that are scary and, like, unpacking why it is that I feel this high level of anxiety and things like that. And it's a lot, right? Mine immediately goes to, like, the default for me is panic in many ways. So my brain, I'm in the process of, like, in the midst of those anxious thoughts, in the midst of those fears, like, what am I telling myself? And what has really helped, and I'm sure it'll help you in terms of, like, your fears and things that you're struggling with, is just talk to yourself. I know it sounds weird, but talk to yourself. It's something that I've been practicing and has honestly helped me more than anything, right? I said talk to yourself last week. I'm going to say it again. It's okay to talk to yourself. Whether it's in your head, you're just like, it's okay. Right? It's okay. This is probably not going to happen. But even if it does happen, it'll be fine. You'll overcome. You'll continue to do this. You'll do great. You'll move on. It's not going to be the end of the world. You will be okay. It could happen. It's probably not going to happen, but if it does happen, and I literally have to talk myself through those thought patterns in the midst of it, just being like, okay, you will be fine. It's okay. And I think even things with that big as starting a business, because that is something that's huge. I don't want to make, you know, light of that. I understand that it requires, you know, legal investments, financial investments, all these different things. But even in the process of that, it's just breaking down those fears and understand that your fears are typically rooted in something else. Right? I think fears don't typically stand alone. It's typically tied to something else, and taking the steps to take a step back and process that, I think, will benefit you a lot. You know, moving to a new city, I think, is a cause for anxiety. I think especially for the people who listen to this podcast in that age demographic of, like, 18 to, like, 35, I believe is our thickest age demographic. I think this is obviously a period of time in which there's a lot of transition. And I think fear typically, like I said, happens when things that matter to us occur. But I also think it happens in times of transition, because I think that's when we're the most vulnerable. I think that's also when you, like, physically get sick. Maybe I should research. I don't know if that's true. I feel like I remember learning that in psychology. But, like, in transition periods and in vulnerable periods is typically when we are the most susceptible to fear. We're the most susceptible to anxiety and things like that. And so I know during your 20s and your 30s, like, that's when you're making big life decisions, right? That's when you're choosing where you're going to go to college or not go to college, what job you want to do, where you want to live. I think especially, I think is something that a lot of people in their, like, 18 to 20s to 30s do. Typically when you're, like, 18, you're moving to your college, right? And then after college, you're either deciding, hey, I'm going to move back home, or I'm going to stay in the city that I'm in for college, or I'm going to try somewhere completely new. And you get into your 20s and things like that. And you get into your 20s or late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s. And you're like, okay, I'm going to, like, start a life with somebody. Do I want to stay here? Do I want to plant roots somewhere else? And it's another transition period. And you're constantly going through cycles of change. And that's when fear will continue to creep its head up in those moments of big change. I think that's why we continue to stay stuck. But just reminding you to watch your framing and watch how you speak to yourself in those moments and talk yourself through that fear and understand that, yeah, like failure is always a possibility, right? In statistics, sorry, right? You're like, Lily, I'm sick of you. Yeah, you should be. When I talk about stats and statistics, you talk about you never fully rule out a possibility because there's always a chance something's going to happen. So I don't want to look at you and lie to you and tell you that this fear is never going to come true because there's a chance it could. But instead of looking at it like, oh my gosh, this fear is going to happen, it's going to be the end of the world, it's understanding that even though it's unlikely, even if this thing does occur, I will be okay. Okay. And so I kind of want to think of this whole thing as oftentimes when we're going through life, we're driving, right? You think of Jesus, take the wheel, right? Jesus, take the wheel, because Jesus doesn't need to take the wheel. Let me just say this. For me, what thing that really just keeps me calm and sane is knowing that God is in control, knowing that he has my back through it all. And I know not everybody believes in God, but for me, right? For me, just putting my fears and my trust in God, I think is something that is very important, and just leaning on my faith and knowing that he's brought me this far and he will continue to do so. Okay. On that note, we typically will live our life letting fear drive the car. And I'm using that reference because get it? My fear of driving, right? It starts with the little things. It starts with the little things. Right? Like, let me make car jokes first, and then I'll get in the car, and then I'll drive on the 405. Like, that's how it's going to work. Okay. Anyways. Oftentimes we go through life letting fear drive us, right? Letting us go places and not go places, letting us stop on the road, letting us pull over and decide we're just going to give up on this dream or whatever because we're so afraid. And we allow fear to consume us and anxiety to paralyze us. And you really don't have to live your life like that. You don't. So my challenge for you is, what if this month you decided anxiety and fear, you're not going to drive? You're not going to drive. You can be in the trunk. Not anxiety, though. You got to go. Fear, you could be in the trunk because fear keeps me safe in some instances, right? However, you can be in the trunk because I don't really want to hear you, right? I know you're there and I can still function and I can still drive while you're there, but I'm in charge, right? I'm driving this car. And yeah, maybe the hood, on a very rare occasion, maybe the hood will open and that fear will come into the car. But it's probably not going to happen, right? The trunk locks. But it could. There's always a chance that could happen. But even if it does, like, I'm still going to be okay because I'm still in charge of the car. I'm still in control of the car. And if I get distracted and let fear come in the way, yeah, there's a possibility I could miss my exit. But that's pretty much about the worst that it's going to get. I could just get back on the freeway and get to my destination. I might be a few minutes late. I could be on time, but who knows? Maybe that barrier or that detour was keeping me safe. Okay. All right. So I want to encourage you guys all to take control and drive the car this month, this week. Put it into practice. What does that look like? What does it look like when those thoughts of fear come into your brain? Right? What do? How do you speak to yourself? How do you navigate in life? Do you become stagnant or do you just understand that it could just be a warning, right? It could just be a warning, but I'm not going to listen to it and tell it that it's boss in this particular case. I want to encourage you guys to share. Like I said, I think sometimes your fears, they become bigger or they become smaller when we begin to share them with other people, right? Sometimes people say like speaking your fears makes them more real. I actually think for me, it does the opposite because sometimes I'll be like, I have this fear of this. And it like even as I say it out loud, I'm like, that's weird. Like, you will be fine. And for me, that's what it is. And so I would journal. Like I say, we're not going to do this again because I already talked about it a lot last week. Journal. Share your answers. DM me. You can put it in the Google form. It's completely anonymous, so I don't even know who you are. But I will be thinking of you. I'll be praying for you and your fears and how you navigate that. I want to remind you that fear is okay. I know I went through this whole thing talking about fear and yada, 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 and don't let it be this big bag thing. Like, fear is fine. Fear is okay. It's okay to feel those feelings of fear, and we've already talked about why. You're allowed to be scared. You're allowed to have fear, but you're also allowed to have courage, and you're also allowed to be brave in the midst of those fears. And remember the equation I taught you? drop it down below and tell your friends that equation. What makes courage?
It's fear in action. It's taking action in the midst of your fear.
So you're allowed to be scared, but you're also allowed to choose to be brave and choose to step out in courage.
Those two can coexist. It's just in the trunk this time.
I think you don't have to allow fear to continue to let it write the life that you live.
I think you have so much power. You have so much strength. And I think giving yourself more grace in the midst of feeling like you don't, I think will take you very far.
And don't spend another second continuing to let fear stop you from doing the things that you truly, truly.
And yeah, I hope that this episode was some sort of encouragement. I want to say a special thank you to everybody who I mentioned in this, I think.
But one thing I want to share really quickly before we go is, like, when it comes to major fears, like for me, like driving is like a pretty big fear. What I'm like doing now is I have to break it up step by step.
Start from the very basics. And you might feel a little stupid in the beginning.
You might feel kind of dumb, right? I felt kind of dumb when I had to write down this action plan. But you go back to the beginning and you break it down step by step. And you kind of go through the different things, right? If you're like, oh, I want to start a business, you kind of like write down all the fears and like negative things that could happen. And kind of breaking down like, hey, it's okay if that happens. Like just kind of starting from the very beginning, I think it's something that is helping me. And just actual, like, not affirming, but understanding that my fears are really, in many instances, not that deep.
And I think that's what's really helped me. And so if you want to take that step, it does require you being vulnerable with yourself and processing and actually thinking about your fears. But I think it's something that's really encouraging.
The last thing that I'm going to say, and I said it earlier in this episode, but I think it's important, is when we continue to affirm our fears, when we say, hey, it's okay, this will probably happen, right? If I'm like I said earlier, like, oh my gosh, I want to own 60 houses one day. Not true. I want to own 60 houses one day. You tell yourself, it's okay, it's probably going to happen. It's okay. You don't need to worry about that because it's probably going to happen. No, you need to teach yourself that, hey, even if I don't own 60 houses one day, it's okay. I will be okay with my one house. I do not need 60. And that's how you process your fear. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. I honestly loved recording this episode, and I hope you got something or two from this episode. It was really great getting to film this one and kind of put all my thoughts down on paper and also share some things that I've learned from other people on this particular subject, because this is a subject that I am constantly learning and growing. And maybe you don't need the, you know, 60-step plan, but one thing that I saw somebody say was, I just tell myself, you'll be fine, and it works. And maybe that's what'll work for you. Maybe your fear doesn't need to be broken down into all these different steps, but maybe you're like me and it does need to be. And so whatever works for you, I would just encourage you to test different things out and allow yourself to go through the process of overcoming fear. And I promise you, it doesn't need to be the writer of your story. I think give yourself that. Give yourself the pen, right? Give yourself the steering wheel and let you drive it, not fear. So I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. Send, I don't know what you're working on. If you need prayer requests or anything like that, text me. I would love, or message me or submit it in the Google form and stuff like that. I would love to walk through these different things with you guys. Or if you have any suggestions or things that you want to, hey, Lily, like, I'm going to take the step to, you know, get over my fear of public speaking or whatever the case is, DM me. Message me on Instagram, and I can't wait to hear and see all the different things that you guys are in the process of overcoming. We're going to do it together. I think there's still a lot of fears that I am trying to overcome. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.